Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Discussing this question and throwing it out there to you, which offense between the Titans and the Colts do you like more? Which offense are you taking now heading into the 2022 season? So, Joe, we discussed this earlier and kind of went through the rosters on offense for both the Colts and the Titans. I think it's close. I think you look at the offensive line, and I would have to give the edge to Indianapolis right now just based on the questions the Titans have on the offensive line. Not to say the Colts don't have questions. You know, Matt Pryor is currently the left tackle listed as the starter on their depth chart. So we'll see what happens on that front. You know, Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, you feel good about the interior there, but there are some question marks on an offensive line that I think it's fair to say, especially in the passing game, probably underperformed last year. I mean, they got absolutely wrecked in that last game against Jacksonville as well. But I would give the edge to the Colts. What's really going to be interesting is how do people view Matt Ryan versus Ryan Tannehill? How do people view Jonathan Taylor versus Derrick Henry? And I threw this one out there earlier that I think is also pretty interesting. How do people view Michael Pittman Jr. versus Robert Woods? Woods has certainly accomplished more in this league, but here today, which wide receiver is better, Michael Pittman Jr. or Robert Woods? I'm interested to see what people's response to that would be.
That was not a mute issue. That was just slowness. I took my time. Yeah, the receiver conversation is interesting. Obviously, you're talking about Pittman, you know, going into his third year.
Right.
Had a decent rookie year. I think Pittman's year last year puts him on a trajectory that I would give him the edge over an older receiver coming off an ACL who, granted, is very good. Robert Woods is a very good player. I think Pittman may be trending toward being a really good player in this league and obviously entering his prime, whereas you have Robert Woods who, you know, still a young guy, but a guy who, you know, we'll see if he can like have his best years with the Titans. I mean, he had huge years with the Rams in particular. He had 2,000 yard years in 2018 and 19, you know, with the Rams. And obviously last year he was having a really good year. Gets hurt. Cooper Kupp ends up just going nuts. Actually, Woods was like the one guy, he kind of hurt the Titans when they played them.
Yeah.
Made some plays at their expense. The Titans did a really good job on Kupp, who just got a three-year 80 for Kupp. But yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Robert Woods is 30. And so it doesn't mean that in this particular one season that Pittman's definitely going to be better than Woods, but I'd give him the edge.
I think I would too, although it's close. Like Michael Pittman, I guess, I mean, he had 88 catches last year for over 1,000 yards. He's pretty good last year. And the fact that he's younger, kind of building to that point, you know, you have both the Titans and the Colts who took receivers relatively high in the draft too, with Alec Pierce out of Cincinnati for the Colts and obviously Treylon Burks here with the Titans as well. Like those two guys, I'm interested to see how that shakes out. Obviously the expectations are higher for Treylon Burks here in Nashville, but I think Alec Pierce is a pretty good player. Like I hear all the Paris Campbell talk out of Indianapolis, and I feel like I hear Paris Campbell talk out of Indianapolis every year. So I guess I'll believe that when I see it at this point. Apparently he's playing really well in OTAs and he looks really good out there, which is fine. I mean, it's good for him, but he's not been able to stay healthy. So until he does, it's difficult, I think, to count on him. I think the Titans have a chance to have an edge at tight end. And I know, you know, we talked about Jelani Woods earlier. Maybe he kind of grows into that role. You know, Mo Alie-Cox is a good player, but I think Austin Hooper has a chance to give the Titans the edge in that category as well.
No, I would agree. I think if you want to look at it like, I mean, both teams have, you know, support players, you know, Swaim and like Andrew Ogletree. But if you look at it like the veteran and then the hotshot rookie, tandem on both sides. You got Hooper and you got Chigakonkwo, who I think looks the part out there. I could see him making some impact this year. I would caution people not to expect some massive rookie season from him, but I would not caution people to not expect big things from Austin Hooper. I think Austin Hooper is going to be a big deal for the Titans. And I think he's better than Mo Alie-Cox, although Mo Alie-Cox is a little bit of an underrated player. He's pretty good. I do think that on the rookie front, Jelani Woods has a chance to be more impactful than Okonkwo does from the Titans. We'll see. But he we talked with Glennon earlier, Mr. UVA wearing a tie watching football. And he had he vaulted onto the draft scene. And sometimes guys like that, he transferred from Oklahoma State, played the 1 year with not a very good football team. But you watch Jelani Woods, some tape of him. Man, I could see him being a real problem for people. So those tandems combined, yeah, I think I'm with you. I'd give the Titans a little bit of an edge. They have the more proven player who's had more production, who looks like, and we're going to have him on the show tomorrow, by the way, Austin Hooper, who looks like he's excited to be out of Cleveland and about to have a little bit of a renaissance season.
So I want to ask you two questions, because I think the answers are going to be pretty interesting as we get closer to training camp and predictions start to roll in and all these things. Which quarterback are you taking to have the better year this year, Matt Ryan or Ryan Tannehill? And my second question is, it's the same question, but throw it league-wide. Who league-wide do you think people league-wide expects to have the better year, Matt Ryan or Ryan Tannehill?
League-wide, I think it'll be clearly Matt Ryan. So the way you phrase the question, I think Ryan Tannehill right now is a little bit better than Matt Ryan. I think he's a little bit better. He's a little bit younger. He's about, what, like 4 years younger, I think, than Matt Ryan? Yeah. And I know that obviously he's coming off a terrible performance and a disappointing season, but I think he's a little bit better. But you asked who I think will have a better season. I mean, honestly, isn't that kind of the same question that we're asking here?
Well, a little bit, yeah.
It's close. It's very – I mean, because it probably tells a story. And that's where – it's close, because I think, frankly, I just think Matt Ryan has more help around him than Ryan Tannehill does now. I mean, Pittman is their clear number one receiver, and he's not, I don't think he's as good as A.J. Brown, but he is back. He is back on the team. And left tackle is the biggest question, and it was not great last year. And they drafted Bernard Raymond from Central Michigan. I think he has a chance to be a very good player. We'll see. They have Matt Pryor in there. If that doesn't work out, then I feel better about saying Tannehill. If they shore that up, though, they have a better offensive line than the Titans. And frankly, if they don't shore that up, I think you say they still, on paper, a little bit better offensive line than the Titans. Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry, to me, pretty close to a wash. And then Pierce and Campbell. Let's compare Pierce and Campbell. Let's say Pittman and Woods. We just made that comparison. Okay, so Pierce and Campbell to Burks and Westbrook-Ikhina. Like, Campbell and Westbrook-Ikhina couldn't be more different. Campbell is like this super talented. Oh my gosh, he blows you away. He's so gifted. He hasn't done anything. And Westbrook-Ikhina is like, who's this undrafted dude from Indiana? And he just totally exceeds expectations.
Yeah, like, I mean, Paris Campbell has 34 catches in his career for 360 yards and 2 touchdowns. Like,
which Westbrook-Ikhina did more than that last year.
Like, I understand that he's got some talent, but people going nuts about Paris Campbell right now, it just makes me laugh. I'm like, okay, great. Do it on the field.
But you might feel better right now about Pierce than Burks, right?
I mean, you might, yeah.
I mean, the word bust was actually brought up yesterday on a program, which is hilarious.
Was it
but
really?
But still, I mean, oh, yeah, it was.
Okay.
but
after he got drafted? Okay.
Hey, man, I don't make the rules here, okay?
All right.
But still, it's been concerning. I mean, it hasn't been great. It's already – I mean, the best thing that Treylon Burks has going for him is that we watched him play at Arkansas last year. But if you watch Alec Pierce, I like Alec Pierce a lot. Yeah. I don't know how – I think Alec Pierce, good pick. I like that pick. So, I think Tannehill's better. I think you make the case, though, that Matt Ryan will have a little bit better year with better pass protection, and maybe just a little bit more variety to throw to. And maybe a better running game because of a better offensive line.
Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says three letters, NWI, Advantage Titans, case closed. This is coming from Dennis on the text line.
Book it.
That's right.
NW1.
Spent a lot of time talking about NW1 yesterday. No question about it. He's going to be a weapon for the Titans this year.
Jordan from Franklin brings up a point you brought up earlier. I mean, Nyheim Hines is nice, man. He is nice, and he bothers the Titans for sure, yes. Although Jayon Brown is not here anymore. Jayon Brown, who was pretty good a lot in coverage, that was not a great matchup for the Titans.
So which duo do you like better, Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor or Derrick Henry and pick your backup running back? You can go Haskins. Or you can go Hilliard. Probably Hilliard in that comparison.
Yeah, definitely the Colts. I like Hilliard, but no, Hines is a good player, man. No, I'd have to, because it's very close with Taylor. Taylor younger, not having a big injury. I'd still, like, right now, if you're drafting one running back to be your running back just for this next season. Like, if you're who are you signing to a 3-year deal? I'm signing Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
If you're drafting one running back to be your running back this year, I'm still going to pick Derrick Henry over Jonathan Taylor, but I would take that tandem of Taylor and Hines over Henry and Hilliard.
We'll take your thoughts on the Titans and the Colts. Which offense would you take heading into the 2022 season? 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue that discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in to 102.5 The Game every Saturday from 9 to 11 a.m. to hear Elijah Campbell and Michelle Knezovic discuss Tennessee sports and catch you up on everything you might have missed during the week. Campbell and Knezovic every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. Our fearless leader, Michelle Knezovic, leading the way in that program.
Thank you, Robbie Stanley. Trying to be like you?
I would advise against that at all cost.
Stop.
Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Vincent in Dixon texting in says, you can't spell win without NWI. There's so much love for NWI on this text line all offseason. That
is true.
If he has a breakout year, it's just going to be a beautiful place on the text line here. So looking forward to that. By the way, we're going to have our conversation with Drew Beam coming up at 9:30. As well, in case you missed that conversation, Tennessee pitcher joined us earlier in the show, was a very fascinating conversation with him on the field and some interesting off the field story with he and his family as well. So looking forward to that conversation at 9:30. Gator Tim on the text line says Michael Pittman statistically much better than AJ, by the way. So pointing out Michael Pittman's stats from a year ago. So, it's hard to argue that. You look at Pittman's stats from a year ago, he had 88 catches, had over 1,000 yards receiving, 6 touchdowns. He was statistically better than A.J. Brown a season ago. Now, I think I would probably still take A.J. Brown over Michael Pittman, but to Gator Tim's point, he was better than A.J. Brown last season.
Did you just say probably? Words are important, Robbie.
I said probably what?
You said you'd probably take A.J. Brown over Michael Pittman? Come on. You would absolutely. Come on, right?
If he could stay on the field, yeah.
Okay, well, you know that he's had these issues. You don't know. So that's your same thing I just did with Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry. Okay, you can have this guy for this year or this guy for this year. Pittman or Brown, who are you taking?
I'm going A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I mean, Gator Tim, yeah, fine. Much better than A.J. It wasn't much better. He was better. Do you actually think Michael Pittman's better than A.J. Brown? It's funny because, especially when we're talking Colts-Titans here, go back and watch the Titans-Colts game, especially the Halloween game up there.
Yeah.
I mean, A.J. Brown destroyed their team, And that's like, if we want to just look at numbers, that's fine. And it is very fair on health. That's fair, but I'm not even hesitating. It's AJ all day.
AJ all day long.
I like that.
According to Joe Rexroth.
There's another t-shirt.
Yes. Ben on the text line says, I don't really like either offense at this second, just because of the question marks everywhere. If I had to pick one, I'd pick the Colts just because Jonathan Taylor isn't coming off of an injury. This is coming from Ben, not Indy Ben on the text line.
Where's Indy Ben today? I figured he'd be in here somewhere telling us how the Colts are like the, you know, like the greatest show on turf part duh.
Shane from Ashland City says, guys, no more Pittman talk. You're going to let my fantasy league in on my secret weapons. It's coming from Shane from Ashland City.
He's not that under the radar, Shane. here's Heidi. Heidi's weighing in. If NWI is our second best receiver, we miss the playoffs. Such disrespect. Overall, I pick Indy just because their quarterback isn't a part-time performer. Well, first of all, I do right now. I think NWI starts the season as one of the top two receivers. Now, I'm saying,
you just go full Robo on us.
Not having any idea. Did I just go Robo?
You did for a minute, but you're back now.
Yes, you did.
Dang it. Okay. As I was saying, I was making an amazing point. Now I'm going to botch it. Now, I think NWI starts the season as one of the top two. And that's not known exactly what Burks will be, but I think it's ideally though it's a clear top three. And I don't think that's a bad thing to have a 2-3 guy, a couple of 2-3 guys along with Woods if we presume him as the one, right? And really what you're looking at there is you're kind of looking at a career two, a rookie we don't know anything about really in the NFL, and then a 3-4 guy, and then that's your top three. It's not great. So I hear what you're saying, Heidi, but NWI I think is going to be a good player too. I mean, in all seriousness, on NWI, take all the jokes out of it, I honestly think we're looking at a guy who's going to be pretty good player for the Titans next year. As far as Matt Ryan being a part-time performer, how do you even know? I mean, Matt Ryan has had games like Tannehill had against the Bengals, but they were games that meant nothing between terrible teams that no one watched. I mean, it's just hard to know exactly what Matt Ryan's going to be next year.
You know, it's kind of amazing, and then I'm interested to see what happens of how they use Matt Ryan. Like, you've got Jonathan Taylor. In 2018 through 2020, here was how many times Matt Ryan threw the ball. 608, 616, and 626. Were the attempts that he threw. That's a lot of times throwing the football. Now, it was down to 560 last year with Arthur Smith coming in there. But, like, I would assume with Frank Reich and the Colts, that number is going to drop significantly with Matt Ryan. Wouldn't you think? Like, he's not going to be throwing the ball 600 times in this offense. If he does, they're in trouble.
I would absolutely think so. And that's a great point. And you look at, you know, like when they were at their absolute best, so MVP, Super Bowl, should have won the Super Bowl. That team that had two really good backs who both ran it and caught it, and Freeman and Coleman. I mean, that year he still threw it 534. There's also a difference too. Like, I mean, that team he threw a lot, but a lot of those were just quick swing passes to the backs, right? Yeah. So, but you go back early in his career, he's in the 400s. And then you just have these, yeah, it's just – so I think this year, if the Colts got him right around 500, you know, that's a big load off his back, and there's a lot of play action in there because you actually can run the ball effectively. I mean, if you're Matt Ryan, you got to be giddy about going from what you've been in to what you have now.
Titans David on the text line says, Derrick Henry makes up the deficiency of the offensive line. Give me the Titans in terms of the offense that he will take. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. It's some people have been putting someone had, I think it might have been Mike Herndon, had some highlights the other day on Twitter of like some Roger Saffold blocks. I mean, he just absolutely cleaned people out of there, man. They're, you know, and granted, I know that you can take a lot of players and say, okay, give me like their seven best plays from the year. And it's right. Like, oh my God. But I mean, that's what he did. You know, the 2019 incredible Derrick Henry run at the end of the year and then into the playoffs, he was unbelievable. They got so much surge, and they were so precise and outstanding as a run-blocking offensive line. It's just always part of the answer. Like, there's no – I mean, I guess you could look at a guy like, you know, Barry Sanders, you know, at times overcoming bad offensive line play and still having a great year. But it's like Emmitt Smith. I mean, that guy ran behind the greatest offensive line possibly we've ever seen. Is Emmitt Smith great? Sure. But what if Emmitt Smith had Barry Sanders' offensive line? I don't think we'd be talking about Emmitt Smith. And I'm not, I think Derrick Henry is great. I just think it's, I don't think you see too often where a running back just overcomes what an offensive line does or doesn't do. It's a team game, it's a trenches game.
JD on the text line says Hooper is going to be our second best receiver this year. This is coming from JD. I could see that. I could see a scenario where Hooper is second on the team in catches this year.
I could see that too.
Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I don't know. I guess that depends on how many catches it is.
It's an okay thing if 3 and 4 are the two receivers who still have good years, you know? I mean, if it's like he's second and then there's a drop off, then that's probably not great. But, you know, Tannehill loves spreading the ball around, and there is a scenario where Burks has a great camp. Wow, okay. That looks like Arkansas Treylon Burks. Westbrook Keene is going to be reliable. He's going to make plays. He's going to be solid. He's not going to be a star, but he's going to be good. And then I think Woods will be good too. So if all that breaks their way, and Hooper, I do think, will be a big part of what Tannehill wants to do, then that could be a good scenario.
Joe, I do want to get your thoughts on this situation real quickly. This is coming from Kendall Rogers, who we had on our show last week from D1 Baseball. It looks like Christian Little of Vanderbilt is hitting the transfer portal. So we talked about the strength for pitching that Vanderbilt has heading into next season. It looks like Christian Little is going into the transfer portal, according to Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball. Do we have Joe?
I think he's frozen. Oh, we lost him. Well, I think
we'll get Joe back coming up here in just a few minutes. Speaking of baseball, we had an interesting conversation with Drew Beam from Tennessee earlier in the show. We'll get to that conversation coming up on the other side. Speaking of baseball, this baseball season, swing for the fences on FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, customers get $200 in free bets guaranteed when you're a new customer when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up with promo code Rob to get in on the action. FanDuel lets you bet the money line, home run props, strikeout totals, and so much more. Plus, you can combine your bets for an even bigger payday with the same game parlay. So I like Aaron Judge to hit a home run. He's been pretty good at that so far this year, playing with that short porch in New York as well. Shohei Ohtani over on strikeouts, but you take it any way you want to take it. If you haven't tried FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. Just join with promo code Rob and turn a $5 bet into $200 in free bets, win or lose. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We were joined by Drew Beam, Tennessee Vols pitcher, earlier in the show in advance of Tennessee taking on Notre Dame coming up this weekend in the Super Regionals. Here was that conversation with freshman phenom pitcher Drew Beam. Drew, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing good. How y'all doing this morning?
We're great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Drew, obviously, huge ones coming up this weekend against Notre Dame in the Super Regional. Just from your standpoint, what's this year been like for you in terms of the journey just to get to this point?
It's been an interesting year, honestly. Obviously we knew we were going to be a successful team, but to this point was obviously our goal, but wasn't something that I at first was like, you know, thinking we were going to be number one for this long or at any point in the season. But then we started piecing things together, and I was like, okay, this team is a lot better than I had expected originally. But the season's gone good. It's had its highs. It's had some low points, but yeah, it's been, overall, it's been really fun this year so far.
For you personally, Drew, I know initially when you got hurt your senior year, there was, you know, concern that it was going to be Tommy John, and you probably would have been out this whole year. And talking to your dad, he kind of explained it like your surgeon, I think it's Dr. Dugas, I want to make sure I get that right, from Birmingham. He basically was like, it's going to be a game time decision. We're going there, and if the UCL is still okay, I'm going to repair it. And if not, then you do the full Tommy John. Of course, he went in, and it was fine. So just tell us a little bit about what that experience was like, rehabbing, and really just how big of a deal is it? Because obviously this is something a lot of pitchers go through, but for the UCL to be able to be repaired and then for you to be able to have such a huge impact on this team right away as a freshman.
Yeah, so it was so they put me under, and I didn't know whether I was going to get the full repair or the full reconstruction of the repair done. And when I woke up, they told me. But the repair basically made a 12 to 15 month recovery turned into a 6 to 8 month recovery, and so it got me back on the mound quicker because my injury wasn't as significant as others. So it's a newer surgery, so it was a little scary. Not having the extensive background as Tommy John has. It was a new surgery that I had to, you know, just trust that Dugas would do the right thing, and he did. Rehab was basically the same as a Tommy John rehab. It was a little sped up, though. It was a little quicker. But rehab was, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 days a week, and a lot of mobility, a lot of stretching, a lot of, you know, getting strengthened everything around that UCL to basically, you know, keep everything strong around it so I wouldn't have any injuries post-surgery. And, yeah, I mean, we worked on a lot of stuff. Having surgery and having rehab like that helped me refine some things, refine my mechanics a little bit, and helped me, you know, be able to slow the game down and just work on little things at a little time. And, yeah, it ended up just helping me out in the long run.
Drew Beam, Tennessee pitcher, on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Drew, to that point, what do you think has allowed you to step in so quickly and be as consistent as you have been so far this year?
Yeah, I trust my stuff. I don't have a problem throwing any of my pitches in any count. And coach gives me credit. Gives my credit to being a quarterback in high school. So I just, my mentality is just, you know, I keep that level head, and I'm always, you know, I'm well at controlling the game and, keeping everything in focus. So he gives that credit to being a quarterback, but I think it's just, you know, being able to keep a level headed, not overthinking anything in the game and just taking it one pitch at a time.
A lot of people will talk about Tennessee, a secret, I don't know if it's a secret weapon, but maybe a big key, you know, to the success would be Frank Anderson, of course, pitching coach, been a head coach, and I know, Drew, he's been a big part of your development this year. What is it that he does that gets the best out of his pitchers?
I think he's just like an encyclopedia for pitchers. So, you know, he does something different for every guy. So, you know, my routines or my things I need to work on are going to be different than Burns or Dolander. So he just knows each different pitcher, and he can analyze each pitcher in a different way. And I think that's just a strong suit. He's not working on one technique for all pitchers. He has something different for everybody.
Drew, what's it like playing for Tony Vitello? Obviously, we see the press conferences, and we see, you know, how fiery and passionate he gets out there on the field. But from your vantage point, what's it like to play for Vitello?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like everyone's going to play better for someone who, you know, wants it just as much as they do and is going to do anything for them. I mean, he'd go out there and play on that field if he could. And so he's giving his all every day, so we're giving our all for him. And he brings fire to the team. He brings a lot of energy, and he's a lot of fun to play for. And so I think it just shows on the field for his players and stuff.
So, Drew, the last few days I've had the pleasure of, you know, talking to you and all your family. And, I'm going to be honest, man, my favorite person to talk to was Carly, okay? I mean, I got to be honest here. But it was a blast, you know, getting to know her and all you guys. And for listeners who don't know, you know, tell us about, you know, Carly, what she has battled through and how important she is to you and to this team.
Yeah, so my sister is 14 years old now, but she was diagnosed with spinal muscular atrophy, which is a form of muscle disorder, whenever she was 2 or 3 years old. So basically she doesn't have the ability to walk like other children, but everything else, she's perfectly fine. She's, you know, she's a high school, or she's about to go into high school. She's a perfectly good student, perfectly good friend and all that. But yeah, I mean, she's been a big impact to me in my life. She's, you know, given me a lot of confidence and a lot of things to work for in life, and show me that, you know, to never give up on things, that you can get through things. And then, yeah, this team, I mean, she's gotten close with a lot of the players. She's some of the players' biggest fans and stuff like that. There's a few players on the team that wear her bracelet and stuff. And yeah, I mean, she's been a light to me, and I know she's been a good light to a few of the players on the team.
So the text, actually talking to her yesterday, and the tradition is she sends you a text that says "Don't suck." Is that right?
Correct. Yes. Yes. She texts you, "Don't
and suck." And one time she didn't, and you got mad or something. Is this? I just want to make sure I have this right. You're like, yeah, you got to send the text. Don't suck.
Yeah. She didn't send one week because I wasn't supposed to start, and so then I ended up coming to relief, and I didn't have too good of an outing, and I just gave her a little crap that it was on her, but it was just a little joke in manner.
All right, so Drew, this weekend, I have not been. I'm going to do some free advertising for Smash Knoxville. Okay, it's a burger joint in Knoxville. I've not been there. I'm going this weekend, coming up to cover this series. Tell me about the Beamer Smash. You got an NIL deal with Smash Knoxville. The Beamer Smash.
Yeah, so it's a double patty burger with sharp cheddar cheese on it, and then it's got Tabasco spice grilled onions and a moonshine mustard sauce with lettuce and tomato and pickle. And it's pretty good. It's and then their fries that come with it are my top favorite fries in Knoxville. So I don't know. I've had the burger like 5 or 6 times now, and in the last past month. So that's really good, and I think everybody should go over there and check it out.
I mean, I've never heard of moonshine mustard sauce, but I'm definitely willing to try it.
that's right. Vols pitcher Drew Beam on the line with us. Drew, last thing for you here. What do you make of this matchup coming up for you guys this weekend against Notre Dame?
I'm excited. They're a good team. They're well-rounded. They're old. They've got a lot of experience and stuff like that. They trust a lot of guys on their pitching staff, so it's not just going to be a two-man, one-man show on the relief side of things. So it'll be a good matchup. There's some age on both sides, and there's some youth on both sides. So it'll be cool to see, and I think we're well prepared for the weekend, though.
Well, Drew, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Thanks for taking some time with us, and good luck coming up this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. That's Drew true. Beam, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Drew Beam from Tennessee Baseball for joining us earlier in the show. Joe, what did you think of that conversation with Drew Beam? And what do you make of the season that he and some of these young pitchers for Tennessee have been able to put together as they head into their super regional matchup with Notre Dame?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, that's a college freshman.
Yeah.
He should go into broadcasting when he's done with baseball, right?
Pretty impressive.
But yeah, very impressive and very mature. That's one of the things when he was being recruited. You know, Drew Beam had offers from Tennessee, Tennessee Tech, UT Martin, MTSU, and Troy. You know, and he's the SEC Freshman of the Year. And, I mean, just a dominant season. He came in here, complete game two-hitter against Vanderbilt. I was like, this guy is that's a freshman. Like the art of pitching, using three pitches, hitters off balance, nobody ever squaring anything up. It was awfully impressive. So, it was, you know, good conversation. I do think that when he's being recruited, maturity was something that everybody saw, and it probably has something to do with, you know, with his childhood, which was not exactly like a lot of kids growing up, you know, having to kind of grow up a little bit faster. But he's probably, you know, this, I would think that he would be the third starter. I would think that he would be preserved for Sunday, if is needed, and that Blade Tidwell and Chase Dolander would be the choices for the two games that we know will happen, which are Friday and Saturday against Notre Dame. And the Vols in those games are going to go up against two really, really good starting pitchers who make Notre Dame an especially dangerous super regional opponent, in my opinion, because, you know, I don't know about their pitching depth. I'm sure it's not close to what Tennessee has. But if you get two ace performances from your two aces, that's all you got to do is win two games.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's really incredible what he's been able to do this year, and just the youth on this pitching staff. That's kind of my question heading into postseason play, was like, is that inexperience going to catch up with them at some point? Now, I will say this, and, you know, we had people bring this up earlier this week. Tennessee gets through the regional and they don't lose a game. One thing that maybe goes under the radar a little bit, the starting pitching wasn't great over the weekend. I mean, obviously Tidwell pitched really well, and that was against Alabama State, but I think it's fair to say that, you know, Dolander and Beam, if they get in there, they're going to have to pitch a little bit better against Notre Dame than they did in the regional over the weekend, would be my guess. Now, Tennessee's got good depth in the bullpen too. There's not really an area of weakness on this Tennessee team, but you'd like to see a little bit more out of your starting pitchers in the super regional.
Yeah. And again, I think Dolander, I would say, if you had to pick who is the ace of the Tennessee staff, the fact that you don't have an obvious quick answer to that for a team that leads the nation in ERA by like 0.7, that tells you how good they are. But I would say Dolander would be the guy, you know, start to finish. And so, again, I think he's going to get one of those two games, and you definitely need him to pitch better, you know, than he did in the game against Campbell. Campbell, hey man, Campbell can rake. So, I mean, respect to Campbell for sure. But yeah, and I think it's good for Tennessee. You know, Dolander and Beam, this is both of them, it's their postseason debut. There's a totally different level of everything when you go from regular season to you know, NCAA tournament pressure, obviously. So the fact that they had those performances, they got picked up by teammates, especially Kirby Connell and Will Mabry. Maybe that helps them going into this weekend. Now they've gotten past it. And again, Beam may not be needed.
Yeah.
I think Chase Burns probably will be a bullpen arm for the Vols, would be my guess, in one of the first two games.
Joe, it looks like Christian Little from Vanderbilt is in the transfer portal, according to Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball, who we had on our show last week. What do you make of that? We talked about the pitching next year for Vanderbilt being a strength of the team. It looks like Christian Little may not be a part of that. What do you make of that decision, apparently, by Christian Little? Again, this coming from Kendall Rogers of D1 Baseball.
That's really surprising and not good for Vanderbilt. Wow. Now, sometimes guys go in the portal and doesn't mean that they're going to stay, you know, that they're going to transfer for sure. But I was looking at Christian Little in his junior year as being possibly their Friday starter. Now, granted, with all these decisions, Vanderbilt's always bringing in really talented guys. But Carter Holton is probably their ace next year. I should amend that.
Not Carter Hutton.
But right, Carter Holton, not Hutton, is probably their ace as a sophomore. But I think Christian Little, I definitely had as a weekend starter. So it could mean a number of things, just not being happy where he is for whatever reason. Maybe he's looking at other people coming in or young guys in the program who he thinks are going to overtake him. I don't know, but I think that he has electric stuff. And, if he's going to stay in there and go somewhere, someone's going to get a really talented pitcher.
Yeah. I was surprised to see that. So we'll see what ends up happening with the Christian Little situation. Do you have a message from Dick Vitale? Is that what I I'm reading here?
That's right. Yes. Yeah. I wanted to read this for Dick. Texted me last night, and I told him I'd read it on the air. So I will read quickly this message from Dick Vitale. Let me share some facts why I'm so driven to raise dollars for pediatric cancer research through the V Foundation. Do you know that only 4 cents of every dollar nationally goes funded for cancer goes to pediatrics? One out of every 285 children from infancy to 20 years of age will get cancer. And about 300 mom and dads weekly will hear the words, "Your child has cancer." Tomorrow, I will celebrate my 83rd birthday. That is today. Happy birthday, Dick, 83 years old. And I've promised all courageous cancer survivors at my galas that I will plead for money as a birthday gift. I ask all of you to donate. So it's v.org/pediatrics. I donated last night. He said, please donate now. That would be a great birthday gift. I said I'd say it on the air. So lots of causes, lots of different things you can do with your money. I said I'd say that for Dick. Happy birthday. And if people want to donate to fight pediatric cancer, that's one of those causes where it's like, you know, like who would argue with that cause, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, it's a pretty big one. So happy birthday to Dick. At some point, we're going to get him on the show. He had like his vocal surgery delayed and stuff. So, but it looks like things are good. Things are still in remission and everything like that. So that's great.
Well, open for continued good news on that front. And quite frankly, I'm looking forward to seeing him back on college basketball stuff next year. It's not the same without him.
Me too.
That would be awesome. That would be really great. Yes, that's. We should all agree on that. Real quick, Will from Nashville says, why didn't Vanderbilt offer a beam? Well, again, I will say, in Vanderbilt's defense, like, why didn't Alabama offer him? You know, yeah. I mean, he's playing for an Alabama travel team. Why did? And they did. I think Alabama was starting to get in there. There were some of the SEC schools were starting to notice him when Vitello came in, and basically he's like, yep, I'm in. And he grew up rooting for the Vols. You know, that's another thing. But I don't think, honestly, like Vanderbilt, you know, Vanderbilt is bringing in, again, every year, the number one and number two recruiting class. And so sometimes you're going to miss kids like this. You know, I talked to Tennessee's recruiting coordinator, Josh Elander. I was like, okay, so now you guys, I'm sure, are recruiting at a different level. He's like, yeah, we got people from Texas and California, you know, contacting us. I'm like, so are you, you know, is it possible you could miss a beam in the future? He's like, yeah, you know, he's like, one thing that we've always said is like, you can't miss the kid in the state who you think could be turned into a great player who bleeds orange, you know, and there are a lot of them. So,
yeah,
it's a great story, but it shows you that you can still kind of fall through the cracks as a college prospect in various sports.
It was interesting to me that he kind of credited, you know, it is kind of remarkable to see a freshman come in here and pitch as consistently well as he's pitched. He credited playing quarterback. Like that's what Tony Vitello says about his demeanor of playing quarterback, of a part of why he's been so successful at the college baseball level with his consistency right out of the gate as a freshman.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, freshman, huge pressure, best conference in the country, you know, the best hitters in the country, coming off partial Tommy John, which, like he said, I think that's going to be seen more and more frequently. They're going to try not to replace the UCL, because when you replace it with Tommy John, you take either a different tendon from your body or a cadaver.
Yeah.
So they used to be 10 years ago, they didn't ever repair it because it never worked. So they've gotten to the point where they can repair them when they're partially torn. But who knew how that would go? And it turns out he's just lights out this year. So quite a story.
Big day on the show tomorrow. We'll have Wes Rucker from GoVols 24/7 at 6:30. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols as they take on Notre Dame coming up in the Super Regional this weekend. Titans tight end Austin Hooper joining the show at 8:15. So looking forward to that. The newest member of the Titans at the tight end position with Austin Hooper. And then Teron Davenport at 9:30. So moving TD around a little bit tomorrow to make some room for Austin Hooper, but looking forward to that as well. So Austin Hooper tomorrow on the show, pretty interesting. He's been turning a lot of heads so far out there at OTAs.
No doubt. Maybe we can ask about Baker. I'm sure he'd love that. Yes. Jessica, we won't ask about Baker.
Austin, tell us about Baker Mayfield. That's going to do it for us today here on
Talk about Lake Erie.
Yeah, let's talk about Lake Erie, how great that is in the wintertime. It's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. The DDC is up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game.